Good morning. Last week began the Sugya of Nisgei Shreinim, and we discussed at length the Sugya of noise pollution, opening up wedding halls and the like in residential neighborhoods. I'd like to just briefly recap what we've gone through and then discuss some other practical applications of the Sugya. So we began with Halacha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah wrote that a person has every right, if he lives in a chatzar, in a courtyard, he is a craftsman, he spends his day banging on with a hammer, making kalim, he has every right to continue doing so in his house, and the neighbors cannot complain about the racket. It's your house, you can do what you want with it, and the neighbors will have to learn to survive. That being said, if you'd like to open a chanos, if you'd like to open up a store, we're going to be bringing traffic in from the outside, people coming and going, there the neighbors have the right to object and say, no, you're the neighbor, you have the right to use it for your personal use, but to open a business in your basement, to start selling, become a shetelmacher and have people coming and going and increasing the traffic, that we can prevent you. Someone living there? Okay, so there is, in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, there's actually an extensive discussion. If you're in a chatzar and you decide to open up a hotel, or you want to renovate and bring another family in, you have another family, or today it's common to take in a boarder, even just a single boy or girl, someone into your house. So there is a kind of ribui diurim, adding more people to the house. Now certainly if you have a child, the neighbors can't complain. For that matter, if you want to adopt a child, someone who's going to join your family, your father wants to move in with you, that's certainly okay. But to start a hotel or to start renting it out to someone else who's not a member of your house, is not Tzaymel Shulchanoi, there the neighbors generally could object. Now, as far as Halacha L'maisa, the discussion here is always all in the context of a chatzah, of a courtyard, which there's a central courtyard, a common area, if you will, that's owned by everyone, and there are houses that are built around it. When you're dealing with people who are on a public street, where there's really no connection between one neighbor to the next, there's no common area, it opens up to the street, then these halachos will not apply. We'll have to deal with zoning laws, but that's something that we're going to deal with at the end of the sugya, not at this point. So,
why isn't the street considered like a chatzar? They're taking up parking spaces.
Because it's public area. A chatzar is jointly owned, it's common area, it's really hilchos shutfim to a certain extent. Because everyone has rights, and you have limited ability in a chatzar, you can't do what you want. You can only use a chatzar in a way, you have to jointly use it together with everyone else, and you cannot use it in a way that hurts the other people in the chatzar. So having a store or bringing in people from the outside is something that impacts the neighbors, and therefore that's not a legitimate use of a chatzar. Correct. So when you have developments, so in Lakewood, extremely common, I didn't know it made its way to Muncie, but if you have a development which there's area which is owned by everyone, that will be either a chatzar, perhaps in some cases of mavoi. In those cases, the neighbors will have much greater rights to object. But in the absence of that, if it's just a street, the only thing to deal with is zoning laws. These halakos will generally not be negayah. So, be that as it may, we have a Mishnah that says, you want to have a factory in your house, no problem. You want to sell something, you want to have a store, bring people in from the outside, that is going to be awesome. So there are a number of pshatim in the Rishayim and Achroinim, what the difference is. In general, someone banging away having a factory in his house makes a lot more noise than having a store where people are coming and going. So some Rishayim say, that Enechanami, the issue is not the noise. Noise is not a taina. The problem is privacy. When you have a store, people are coming in and coming and going, that deprives the members of the chatzar of their privacy, that you can object to. On the other hand, if you're just in the privacy of your house, the fellow is banging away with his hammer, making what he needs to sell, there he's not invading anyone's privacy, and that's why he has the right to do so. Others make a distinction between either who or where the damage is happening. When people come from the outside, you can stop. A fellow homeowner who's using it, who's doing something in the privacy of his house, that you cannot prevent.
What about when? I mean, having a guy banging at 3 in the afternoon is one thing, but 3 in the morning is another.
Okay, very good, very good. We'll get to that in the context. It's interestingly enough, in the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara itself don't discuss it, but there's a Rivash that brings out that point we'll get to soon. There will be a difference. Good point. And the last draft that we said was from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says the difference is what your options are. When it comes to, if you have a person who sells kalim, so the norm was you had your house. That's where you went ahead and you made your wares. During the day, you went out to the marketplace to sell them. Since the norm was to make it in your house, neighbors can't object and say, we don't want you banking. On the other hand, a store, when you're selling was typically done in the marketplace, in the shuk. So that's where it should be done. If you want to open a store in your house, because it's a little bit more convenient, you save a few dollars on rent and overhead, but by doing that, that's coming at your neighbor's expense, there they have the right to object. So if you're doing something which is typically done in your home, the neighbors have to live with it. On the other hand, if you're doing something which is typically done in the street, in the marketplace, and you're doing it at home for your convenience or to save a few dollars, there the neighbors can say, don't do that on my cheshbon, and that's why they can prevent a store from opening up. So typically, that wasn't the derech. Now, I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit by describing this factory like there's this assembly line where they're building trucks next door in a residential neighborhood. The case is you have a craftsman. He had his hammer, he made his kalim, and then during he went to the shuk to sell them. But I agree with you. If you're dealing with, if someone's going to, make a factory in his basement where the norm was not to do it in your house, then the Chassam Sofer would say you have to go out into the marketplace. The Chassam Sofer's case, actually, was when you're selling wine, or you're basically opening a bar. So he said, back then, it seems even the goyim would not drink in the shuk. It's a prisus. They would only enjoy their beer or their wine in the privacy of in a private home. And that's why he says this kind of business can't be done in the marketplace. Therefore, you'd be allowed to do it, and they wouldn't be able to be ma'akiv. Again, we mentioned last week having a bunch of drunkards roaming the street or in the neighborhood is a hezek on its own, and therefore the Chassam Sofer says, if you're selling liquor and you're going to have a bunch of drunken goyim staggering around making problems, that itself may be reason to stop it. But as far as the noise and the traffic, since this is the norm, that's where you have a bar, he says you would not be able to be ma'akiv. Now, again, the Shittas HaRambam, the Rambam is actually more machmer. The Rambam holds in all cases you're allowed to be ma'akev even on someone banging in his house. The Mishnah is only talking about after a chazaka. But regardless, as far as halacha l'maisa, everyone agrees this applies only either in a chatzar or at best a mavui she'eino mefulish, a dead-end street. On the other hand, if you live on a regular public street, where regardless there's traffic, there are people coming and going, it's a public area, there none of these halachas will apply. And therefore, claims of noise or traffic are really very more or less non-existent in halacha. The exception that we discussed last week was if there's so much noise that literally your walls are shaking, there is someone's banging away next to you, and it's enough that if you put a barrel on your wall of your house, you'll see it shake. There already, that's considered a direct hezek. But just the noise, the nuisance, that, as far as the din of the Gemara, we do not find any right to stop in a normal case. Now, that being said, last week we said over the sheets of the Rivash. Rivash has a tremendous chiddush. Rivash says this is all talking about when everyone in the neighborhood is healthy. So the noise is a nuisance. You don't enjoy it, but it's really not affecting you. It's a bother, but it's not really affecting your life. On the other hand, if there is a chayla, there's someone who is not well, they're sick, and the Rivash says an istinus as well, where they cannot be saivled, it's damaging them. It's not just a question of it's not geshmak, it's a nuisance. They can't cope with it. They can't sleep, they're sick, it causes them medical issues. So in such a case, the Rivash says, these halachas do not apply, and the chayla will be able to say, this is affecting me, you have to stop. Now the Chazon Ish points out, this is a tremendous chiddush, because where do you find that something which is not considered a hezek, because there is a sensitive person in the neighborhood, suddenly he has the right to dictate how you're going to live your life? But halacha l'maisa, this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch in two places, everyone agrees to it. If there is a chayla, if there's someone that's being affected by this noise, they have the right to put their foot down and say, you have to stop.
Make a difference who came first?
Oh, excellent. So the Nesiva says that no. The Nesiva says that we find a concept, which we'll discuss by the concept of either Cheskes Tashmishai, or there's another concept of Samach Beheter. That in general, if you're there first, and you have a Chazaka, the neighbor saw what you were doing and didn't object, and then years later, he just changes his mind and wants you to stop, it's too late. What? It's too late, because once he was there for a while, he has a chazaka or samach beheter, again, two different svaras, two different concepts, and once he's there first, in general, it's too late. Now, that being said, the Gemara says, by a kutru beis hakisei, if the person has a, in cases where it's a tremendous damage, where it's a real problem, there a chazaka will not help. Because the chazaka is based on the fact that there's some sort of mechila. When there's a huge damage that people can't live with, we say it's not a chazaka. We say it's true he was soyvel, as long as he was able to, he didn't make a macha, but now that it's a problem, he has a right to say, listen, it's really affecting me, I want you to move it. So the yeshiva says, who adin over here? If the person became sick later, he has the right to go back to the first person and say, listen, I know for the past 10 years this is your panasa, but now it affects me, and I have the right to shut you down. This is the yeshiva says, this is just says it's klachar yad without much of an arichus. The Chazon Ish argues. Chazon Ish says that it's one thing if you're a choyla and I want to go ahead and I want to start my factory over here, you can object because it's going to affect me. Normally people it doesn't affect. If a choyla is affected, he can make a machal, he can prevent you from coming. On the other hand, once the person is there first, now a neighbor became sick, it's true normally when he's sick we'll have to accommodate him. But the fact that he became sick now doesn't give him the right to take away an existing use of the property. And the Chazon Ish says it's too late. He would have to either move or find some way of dealing with it. Now, what are you doing as a machlokes? Chazon Ish says... What? He says, even if the factory is there first, if he was a chayla and the factory came and he didn't make a macha, it's easier to understand that you can't. But even if he became sick later, where what do you want? He didn't make a macha because it didn't bother him. Nevertheless, the Chazon Ish says, once you're here, the person became sick later, he cannot go ahead and tell you to uproot your business and to shut down or to move somewhere else.
And let's take the case of Beis HaKisei. Beis HaKisei is, everybody knows, it's a nuisance that a person can't live with too long.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's not totally in the hezek, it's totally in the chaylo. So where does the Mesivis get from the Gemara that the one who's been bothered, his condition could change the Mesivis of the hezek that's being done?
Okay, so to give you a somewhat oversimplified answer, this, you know, the idea of, or what the lumness of chazaka, we're going to talk about by Richas in the future. But the we mentioned last week, the Gemara has a case where a person was busy grinding things. His next door neighbor won the lottery and built himself a mansion. Now suddenly, every time he's grinding, he's shaking the walls of the mansion. And the Gemara says clearly he has the right to be ma'akev and say, get out. Why? Because until now, you were doing what you want. Your banking wasn't a hezek. Today, your banking is a hezek. And halacha is you're not allowed to be mazik someone. If you're not allowed to be mazik someone, he says, listen, yesterday what you did was not a hezek, it was mutter. Today, it's a hezek. So once it's a hezek, I can stop you. Now, taking this kind of argument a step further, what do you do when there's a suffix? We have machlokes, nesivas, chazainish, we don't have achra. So what many Achroinim say, and again, we'll revisit this svara in the future, what many Achroinim say is that if you stay, what are you doing? What you're doing is a hezek. You're hurting someone. Now, we all know when being mazik, if you're mazik someone, you have to reimburse them for the loss. There's also an isser to be mazik someone, to damage someone. Now, there's no question that your noise is causing a hezek. The only question is perhaps, since you were there first, you can tell them it's your problem. You go away. So what many Achroinim say is that since it's a Vadai Hezek, and there's a suffix whether there's some sort of new heter here that, hey, it's not my problem, I was here first, so if it's hurting you, you go away. It's a suffix mazik, and therefore what many Achroinim say is you have to be machmir and stop doing it because you're causing someone else a hezek. So going back, we have this rivash that if a person is sick, then he has the right to object to noise. Now it's mavur in the Mishnah, in the sugya of Istinus, that a person can't get up there and just wake up one day and say, I'm a choyla, this is a problem for me. It has to be that there's a chazaka, that this is really a hezek for him. So someone who just gets upset about there's too much noise going on and decides to make himself into a nebuch, there has to be a chazaka that this person or in this condition, the noise that we're dealing with is something that would cause a damage. Simply the fact that he asserts it is not enough. It has to be clear that what's doing is in fact a hezek to the other person. Now also, and this gets a little bit subjective, is we're dealing with it. We said before, noise is not generally a claim. It's a nuisance, but it doesn't rise to the level of Nitzkei Shechina. When the person is sick, then it does. When he's an istinus and he cannot be soivel it, he can't handle it, he has the right to object. Now, how to define when it crosses the line between being a nuisance and being something which is literally not manageable is something which is very difficult in practice to draw the line. People today, especially when they get worked up about something, you know, they can't handle it, they can't deal with it, etc. It's you know, boils down to very often a judgment call. I'd suggest perhaps the difference is, what happens if he loses the din Torah? Is he going to move out of the neighborhood or not? Now again, it's not always a proof. Some people, if you can't afford to move, you have no place to go, obviously it's not a proof. But if it's the kind of thing which it's a preference, but if he loses, life will go on, he'll be fine, then it's very hard to apply the rivash. If it's something which is really a problem to the extent that if he could, he'd move out, because he can't survive over here, so then already it's more likely that the rivash would apply. Now again, in practice, it's not a practical test, because very often you don't have an option of moving. But at least conceptually, it has to be something that you really can't handle, not just something that you'd prefer. You know, all things being equal, you'd rather a quieter neighborhood than a noisier neighborhood. What? Okay, very likely. Right. Now, the fact that he becomes a grump as he ages, I don't know if that will apply. But if it's something which, as he ages, it affects him, then enechlami, yozakin, and istinus, achoylo, all of these are potential arguments. Now, I'm not going to stand here on the record and say at what age that cutoff is, but it's certainly a factor. Now, this rivash, if taken literally, can cause all sorts of havoc. You have a washing machine or a kinyan hara, you have a mishpacha with kids who are lebedik, and you live in an apartment building, everyone starts complaining, your kids are making too much noise. Can they say they're a chayla, you have to move out. So here we have a famous chazanish that says that this whole context of the rivash is, you want to open a factory in your house, you want to have a store, you want to do something like that, so then if there's a chayla, it affects, he can stop you. However, any use, which is the ikur dira, or it's a use that most people do in their houses, even if there is a chayla, they cannot object and stop you from doing so. So if you want to run your washing machine, and there's a fellow next to you who's taka a chayla, a taka bothers him, he can't sleep, or whatever it is, he has a legitimate reason that it disturbs him. Nevertheless, since everyone runs washing machines in their house, then you cannot say, I'm a chayla, because being a chayla, it can stop someone from doing something extra, from opening a store, but to prevent the normal use, the quiet and peaceful enjoyment of the person who's running the washing machine, that even a chayla would not have the right to do. Now here already, it would make a difference what time things are going, what time you're running the machine. I have a relative of mine had rented a house in Lakewood, and the landlord rented the basement to a young couple. Now the way the house was set up, the washer and dryer were on the main floor. And whoever the architect or the designer was, they made the brilliant move of putting the washer and dryer directly on top of the children's bedroom underneath. Now, this relative of mine happens to be a night owl, and they have the late house, and they're busy doing laundry until 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. The fellows downstairs actually went with the early to bed, early to rise saying, And there was chaos. They were constantly complaining that the kids can't sleep, they're waking up, a whole back and forth and fighting over what we can do. So in such a case, you have the tie of the rivash. If people are not able to sleep, you're disturbing their sleep, they can be ma'akev because of the rivash. However, we have the chazanish. Running a washing machine is certainly a normal use of a property. And because someone can sleep, they do not have the right to tell you to start using a laundromat or not to have clean clothing. But that being said, while it's certainly the normal use to run a washing machine during normal hours, if you're running it at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, some people do that, but you cannot argue that that is the roi of people running machines at that hour, or that is the ikar tashmishoi, and therefore they would have the right to object. Don't make a racket, even in a normal thing, but don't make a racket at an abnormal time. Now again, what time at night when the curfew should be, how early in the morning, that's obviously subjective and kolafi amokim v'hasman, but the point is, you achoyla can demand, don't do anything that will impact me as long as he's not taking away from the other person's normal use of the property.
There's an apartment complex in this neighborhood where the official rule is no washing machines. However, the landlord will look the other way from families.
Mm-hmm.
Could that cause a different situation?
Well, if there is an official rule that you can't, it's hard to argue. You know, it's like this. The Rivash says if there's a chayla, if the noise is impacting someone and causing them, you know, and causing them real issues, they have the right to object. Chazon Ish comes and limits although you can object, you cannot interfere with his normal or primary use of his property. If the formal rule is you cannot have a washing machine, it's going to be hard to argue this is the ikur dira, or this is what roiv people do. It's a use which is against the rules, not against the rules, it's tolerated, but it's hard to argue that's the ikur dira. In that case, I would think that a choyla would have the right to object. At least that's what I would think. So here we have, again, we have on one hand, if there's a choyla that's being impacted, he could object, and the poskim say being sleep deprivation rises to a level of a choyla, we get little enough sleep as it is without these kind of things. If you're going to go ahead and start playing music or doing things in the middle of the night, the people will have a din of a choyla, but it's limited. You can only object against an added use, but something which is the ikar dira, something which roiv people do, you would not be able to stop. Therefore, if you have a levadika family and the kids are busy yelling and screaming throughout the night, so although they're keeping everyone up, upstairs, downstairs, the sides, and they can argue with a chayla. However, having children in the house is ikar tashmishoi. Them yelling and screaming, obviously the parents could control it, they probably would for their own sanity, so you can't really tell them, you know, move out or, you know, send your kids to military academy, because, you know, it's not a taina. Having your kids at home is ikar tashmishoi. I actually heard somebody after the shiur last week told me a beautiful story. Said he knows someone who they lived in an apartment building in the city, and it was a one bedroom apartment. The family was kinda growing. It was a levadika family, so it was one of these rent stabilized apartments. So they applied to move into a two bedroom apartment. Now there was a big demand. It took quite a number of months, but finally after a few months, the management got back and said, Baruch Hashem, we have an opening, and you can move into a two bedroom unit. They did a little due diligence about this new apartment. And what they discovered is it was directly underneath Rav Moshe Feinstein's apartment. Now, these people made a cheshbon. They said, on one hand, we're desperate. We have our kids all in a one-bedroom, three kids in a one-bedroom apartment. On the other hand, if we move in there, the family, Kanai Nahara, is Lebedik. And we make a racket. And we're going to be there. We're going to be directly under the Igrit Moshe. And the kids are going to be yelling and screaming and making all sorts of noise. They're going to disturb his learning. They're going to disturb his sleeping. So after thinking about it, they said, you know what? We're going to pass in the apartment. We'll survive for another few months. And we'll wait till the next one opens up. Now, certainly, in technically, Chayshin Mishpah, there's no obligation to do so. If you move in, you have the right to have wild kids or wild kids. That's a fact of life. But again, it's certainly a fnimashurus adin, a midas chasidus, to take into account the impact it'll have on the neighbors, especially if you have such a neighbor, certainly something which is extremely chashuv and a tremendous mesiras nefesh.
Not
I don't know if you take liberties on other people with those cheshbonos. It's nice to say, you know, after the fact, but to say I can do it because he won't be makbir, tzarachin. Now, another interesting chazonish is how far does this go? And we actually had once had a din Torah where there was someone who claimed to be a chayla who lived also, it was in one of these complexes, and she came with a complaint that when her neighbor used a certain kind of detergent, so somehow the way the venting works, there was some sort of cross-contamination between the vents, and when they used certain kinds of detergent, that would affect her. The smell, the allergies. How far can a chayla go in asserting that what you're doing is causing me a hezek? So Chazanish says, it deals with a similar case, where he says like this. In a case where there's something that's being done that has a very bad smell, there's a borski. So the Gemara says, normally you have to be 50 amos away from other people. What happens if a chayla says, I am more sensitive, and even at 75 amos, it still bothers me? Chazanish says, that's the rivash. That is, if there's a smell there, most people at 75 amos, they smell it, but it's manageable. But for this person, it's not manageable. So if his claim makes sense, there's a chazaka, we will accommodate him. However, Zog Chazanish, if it's something that most people can't smell at all, it's something which is not, there's, it's not noticeable to regular people, for a chayla to say, I have this special sensitivity, and therefore, even though no one else can smell it, but it somehow affects me in a way, he says, that far you can't go. It's only when there's something there, it's a nuisance. But for you, it's not just a nuisance, it's a hezek, there you have the right to object. But if for most people, it's simply non-existent, and you want to go ahead and you want to stop someone from doing it, that far you cannot go. Now, taking all this and putting this halacha l'maisa, and there have been a number of dinei Torah about wedding halls that opened in residential neighborhoods. So typically what the psak is that technically because it's not a chatzar, not even a mavli, it's a mavli mefulish, it's a public street, you do not have a claim of noise or the traffic. That being said, if wedding halls, if you're going to have music throughout the night, they're already going to affect people's ability to sleep. That they're already you can shtel to the rivash. And what typically happens in these dinei Torah is the bezdin puts some sort of curfew. The music has to stop at a certain time. The chasen has to be over at a certain time. The cleaning crews can't be there past a certain time. And that way, when you're not affecting people's sleep, it's just a question of the nuisance. They're already in general it's mutter. Now I saw in Ar Yisrael. There are a number of volumes from Chav Dalet, Chav Hei, and on. There's a vikuach back and forth about these issues. At the end, the final psak there is, like I said, that the hole can open up, but there was a curfew, there were certain limitations that were applied. But what's fascinating, they end off with actually two points. The first, they claim, that one of the tshuvas there writes, that the Chazon Ish was makbid not to go to a chasana, not to walk into a hall, if it was built over the objections of the neighbors. If it was done on someone else's cheshbon, he didn't want to walk in. The second point that he writes is that after they wrote the psak din, that there's a curfew, there's a certain time after which you can't have music, you can't have crews. So he brings down from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and Shuvas at the end of Chodesh Mishpat, Simon Lamites, where there was an issue about a chasana. Again, there wasn't the hole, there was an issue with the get that was written. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav wrote that he writes first of all that no one should be Masad or Kedushin for this lady. She's not really Megureshes. And second of all, even if they go ahead and get married, no Shaykhid is allowed to Shecht for this Chasana because it's Be'isr. And if they Shecht for this Chasana, it's Nevelos and Trefus. Such a Gezera, even though the Shechita was done, but that's what he writes.
What was the case?
There was a problem with the lady's get. So he wrote, the get is not a good get, and therefore she cannot get remarried. No one's allowed to be Masad or Kedushin or Chasana. But if somehow she manages to make a Chasana, a Sheikhid is not allowed a Shecht for such a wedding. And if he does, the meat all has a din of Nidalos and Trefus. Again, how that work? This is Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So this Tshuva wrote that there was a Maisa with that. Apparently this lady did get married. And there was a Chasana. And there was someone Shechted for it. So he said that Rekiv Eger said that anyone who ate at the chasen had timtum halev. We know that a person eats tarifas as a timtum halev, a person won't be able to learn as well. So he said, Rekiv Eger said that children that ate, a child that ate at the chasen had timtum halev, he's not going to be able to learn tarifas. So at the end of the, so that was what the tshuva was writing, that if you were going to a wedding where there's a psak din, that this is when they have to stop and they go ahead and they go shalai kedin, you have to be careful about the tintum halev, about how what the effect of eating at the wedding is. That was what was beautiful about the letter is that you see what like the scariest thing that you can write to an Israeli. The scariest thing you can write is not that if you do this, it's a school you're going to lose your money, or not a school. The scariest thing you can write is that anyone who eats there, there'll be tinta malev. You won't be able to learn Torah. That was the most effective way they had to stop people from violating the psak and having the chasana passed when it should be. But again,
if traffic is not an issue, the fact that today traffic is with motor vehicles and there's much more of a sakana for children. Mm-hmm.
So we'll deal with zoning issues and the laws. That's obviously a very big issue. We're going to deal with that at the end once we get to the halacha. The sakana is, you know, sakana is a very emotional argument. People say it's for the children's sake. Doing this, it's a danger for the children. Is it really a sakana? Does it rise to a level where a person can lashul be mechal Shabbos to get out of this neighborhood because the children are in danger? How many people will go ahead and sell their houses because of the sakon? So it's something that gets thrown into the mix. It definitely plays well, you know, to get up there on the zoning laws and talk about the children and safety. But to really argue that there's a measurable risk to the children and there's a danger in many cases, it's a bit of a stretch. So this is all. When you're dealing with a regular, you're opening up a wedding hall, you're increasing the noise. What about a shul? What about a yeshiva? Are the halachas here any different? Now, as we mentioned, normally the fact that you're running a yeshiva, running a school, you're doing a mitzvah, does not give you license to trample on other people's rights. Normally, a yeshiva has to be more careful, the Mishura said then. That being said, this halacha is a bit unique. Here, with the So one of the Gemara says, it's actually answering the steer in the Mishnah that we mentioned last week, that for a melamed tinoikus, if you're opening a cheder, there, even if you're in a chatzar, even if you're going to increase the traffic of the chatzar, which we mentioned by a store you cannot do, by a cheder you could. And the Gemara explains that it was Takanas Yeshua ben Gamla, that originally Talmud Torah, the way it was fought, every parent would teach their child Torah. That's how it was done. They didn't have schools, they didn't have cheders, they didn't have day schools. It was something that would happen from father to son. However, the Gemara continues that it was a problem. People who do not have parents wouldn't learn at all. And therefore, originally, they made a takana, then they made a cheder in Yerushalayim, and everyone was supposed to go up to Yerushalayim, all the Yerushalayim, or whoever needed to learn would go up to Yerushalayim. That wasn't practical. So Yeshua ben Gamla was sakin that they should make a cheder in every single neighborhood. Based on that, because there is a need to have a local cheder, therefore this argument of there's going to be too much noise, there's less privacy, is no longer a taina. The Aruch HaShulchan explains that the obligation to make sure there's a school is on the public. If you have an obligation to make sure there's a school, part of that obligation is not to make it difficult for them to find a location. And therefore, the same way you have an obligation to actively go ahead and build it, he says, Koshkin, you don't have the right to push them away and say, don't come into my neighborhood, find another place. That's an argument that everyone could make or everyone does make. And therefore, if they want to open a school in a local neighborhood, they have every right to do so. And this taina of Nechnasim V'yotzim is not considered a legitimate taina.
What about the kids that don't come in?
Hmm? So if it's against the takana, you probably would have the right to be ma'akiv. We'll have to, Gemara describes what another takana, what against the takana is. Crossing a bridge, different gedarim, where it's not safe for the children to be traveling that distance. I don't know today how or if it would apply. Well, if the neighbors are goyim, they're not going to care much about what the halacha is. So... So that's not really a halacha shaila. Then obviously, if their neighbors are goyim, you're going to have to comply with the zoning laws. Once you comply with the zoning laws, you have to be a mensch. You have to make sure not to make a chilul Hashem and do what you can to accommodate them. But if they're simply not happy that there's a school here, so you know, you You passed your zoning, you do what you can, and you have your school.
Let's say a firm person is running a school and they're looking for a permit. You want to object to the permit?
Okay, excellent. So that we're going to discuss in the context of zoning. We're going to have to deal with two issues. Number one, regular zoning laws, how that impacts, the Malkus Adin, how that impacts it. The second level, which you're alluding to, is what happens if they're not allowed to build, they're asking for permission, and you're just telling them, don't give that waiver. That's easier to justify, because you're just stopping the government from giving a waiver, from giving them a present. That is the discussion of Ma'arik. We'll get to that. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get back to Rivash. Rivash is not talking about this case. We'll discuss in a moment how that applies. So the halacha is, this is halacha mufureshes, they want to open up a school, there the people in the chatzar cannot object. Now, there's a tremendous machloikis among the poskim how far this goes. So this is a school. We understand, the Gemara makes it very clear, that there was a problem that the children were not being educated, shipping them off to Yerushalayim was not practical, so they needed to set up a local school in every neighborhood. If you need a school in every neighborhood, then it's very logical that neighborhoods can't object. Otherwise, the takana is never going to happen. What about other mitzvahs? What about other tzrachim? So here, the Ritva writes that it's not just a cheder. If you want to open up a beis medrash, the same halacha would apply as well. Now, there's machlokes how to understand this Ritva. Some learn that his extent the Ramban learns that it's only a heter for Talmud Torah. Any other mitzvah you want to do, do it somewhere else. Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is connected to Kulay, there we're matirah. But if you want to open up a shul, you want to open up a doctor's office, you want to do any other mitzvah, find another place, the neighbors can object. This is a specific exclusion for Talmud Torah. That being said, in the tour, Shulchan Aruch argue. And they write that this heter applies for essentially any dvar mitzvah. You want to open up a store, you want to open up a factory, there the neighbors have the right to complain if you're increasing the traffic, if you're bringing other people into the chatzah. However, if it's for a dvar mitzvah, there they do not have the right to object. Now, the Taz has, and the Chasam Sefer both have somewhat of a middle ground. They say it depends on the mitzvah. Stam a mitzvah, you have the right to object. What it means is, if there's a mitzvah that requires everyone to gather together, like a shul by definition needs people to gather together. A mitzvah like that, where you need everyone to gather together, so obviously you need a shul locally, that's part of our communal life. So it's very nice, you know, everyone wants to be in a neighbor that has shuls. Everyone wants a minion factory 3 blocks away from them. It should be not, they need it in the neighborhood, they want it, it's convenient, but just not in my backyard. So that argument is not a good argument. If there's a tzarech, a mitzvah that requires the rabbin to get together, so part of the achrayas of the community is wherever they end up putting it, wherever it works for them, you can't object. However, a mitzvah which is a private mitzvah doesn't need to be berabim or increased traffic, there the Taz says you cannot do. So for example, a moyel, the Taz says, cannot open up a moyel clinic where people will bring their babies. Because what's the point? The moyel it's not a problem for the moyel to go from house to house, going to the baby themselves. To bring them all to one central location will increase the traffic without any purpose. That you can have the right to object. What about a doctor? So Sma says, a doctor, you can't open up a clinic in a residential, in a chatzah. The Taz says, why not? It's a dvar mitzvah. So one of the answers that they give is because what's the dvar mitzvah? The patients come to you. Let the doctor make house calls. Who says he has to have all the patients coming to him, sit in the waiting room for hours? Let him go. It's true there's a mitzvah to heal people, but don't schlep him to your house. The doctor should go around, and you'll do the same mitzvah in the patient's house. What? Oh, very good. So it's as Eliezer says, it's very nice in theory, but it's not very practical for a dentist to start lugging around his x-ray machine and all his equipment. It's not going to work. So where you need equipment, where it's not practical to go to make house calls, there it certainly changes. It becomes a mitzvah that requires the rabbin to congregate in one place, and therefore this would not apply. On top of that, the Tzitz Eliezer also points out, even if in theory they can make house calls, not that many people can afford that. And therefore, to say that my business model will be going from house to house where only very wealthy people will be able to afford it, other people will not get medical care, that is not such a good argument, and therefore the concept of the Dvar Mitzvah would apply.
How about shoes? How many shoes in a day do we need?
Okay, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. To what extent can you argue that it's true we need such a thing, but enough is enough? So there is a lot of discussion, not in the earlier Rishonim or Achronim, but it's more today a modern day Shaila where people are fighting back and forth. It is needed, it isn't needed. You know, one comment is that the Gemara in Bava Basra has a bunch of rayas back and forth about this concept. And there are a bunch of brises that seem to say you can stop someone who writes shtarois or mlametinoikis. All of these cases that we're saying you're allowed to open, there are rayas that you can't. And the Gemara for each one is doiche it. It's talking about you teaching them teaching goyim. They're not teaching them Torah. All sorts of dichuyim coming up. Why you're allowed to prevent them over there? The Gemara should have just said a very simple answer. We have 12 shuls already. We don't need a 13th. You're opening up a doctor's. There are 12 other doctors. Who needs you? What? There's a brayser that says stamazai, that a person wants to open up the mlametinoi because you can stop them. So Gemara has a dich. Ask, well, how can you stop? He goes, dicho, you're teaching goyim. That's the Gemara's answer. You're teaching goyim. That's why you can make a macha, not a dvar mitzvah. Why don't you say a very simple answer? There's already a cheder there. So it's a shtickle. What? Okay, that's a bad example. But we're talking about a seifer, a roife, a moil, all of these cases, you can simply answer, it's not needed. You're just doing it for your panasa, but there are another four of them. So it's a shtickle mashma that's not such a taina. In halacha l'mayis, so with the tshuvas that go back and forth, I didn't see any mar mekaymos or any raya. Essentially, they use their judgment if there's a need for it, if it adds something, if the shul is being opened because, you know, there's a shul in the neighborhood, but it's litvish. Now, they're chassidish, they have different needs. Their davening is different. For them to daven well, they need their own location. They're pretty quick to say that they have the same exceptions as of a shul. If the pshat is, you have that already, but now they want to make a breakaway, so they have an 11:30 shacharit instead of an... At some point, the tshuvas seem to put their foot down. But it's, I don't know of any good rayas or earlier Maram Mekoymas to that kasha. So anyway, be that as may for a dvar mitzvah, a mitzvah of the rabbim, the Taz says, has the right to open up. If it's a mitzvah of the yochid, of a yochid, you cannot. Now, what happens if we combine the two concepts we've been discussing? What happens if you want to open up a shul or a school? You have the right to do so. What if there's a neighbor who's a chayla? Or what happens if this shul is a minion factory? The minyanim are going to be running until 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and the neighbors won't be able to sleep. Can the argument of just like by a chayla, the rivash says, you can stop people from doing something you normally don't have the right to stop? What about here? Does that apply to a divine mitzvah as well? So here, the Lahiris Nasan has a fascinating tshuva, and he says you have the right to object. He says, because really, whenever there's a hezek, you know, it's like this. Normally, when there's in the chatzar, you want to increase the traffic, the neighbors can stop. By the takana of a mitzvah, they went ahead and they overrode that right of the neighbors of nechlasim v'yoytzim because of the tzarech of the mitzvah. However, if we're dealing with a new problem, a problem of rivash, that it's a hezek, you can't be soivah. Since we do not have a raya, the takana overrode that din, the Haris Nathan says we cannot extend this halacha further than what we see in the Gemara, and therefore if it's a chayla, you have the right to object. In which case, if the school or the shul is running through all late hours, the Rebbe's tish goes until 3 o'clock in the morning, and the neighbors now can't sleep, the Haris Nathan says they would have the right to object. Now that being said, most contemporary Achroinim seem to disagree, and they say really it's a kolsh game. The Rivash is a mukhud, is a chiddish dikatayin you have, Altmazik. So if it can override the din of a chotzer, where there's a clear halacha that applies to everyone and still never the takana overrides it, so hu hadin, rivashes takana. And most seem to say that even a chayla cannot object when it is a dvar mitzvah. Certainly, person, you know, the school should use, should try to accommodate, but at maker hadin, most akhwainim say that you cannot stop them even if there is a dvar mitzvah. Now, I just want to end off with one last svara. From this is actually a svara from Rav Yashiv. It's a tremendous chiddush, but I just want to say it over quickly. If Rav Yashiv has a chiddush, it's really based on the sugya of Ani Mahapik Harara, which is one of the first topics that we covered. And Rabbi Asher makes the point that back then, real estate was not a career. People bought houses, they lived in it, they didn't sell it, that's where they lived, that's where they, and it was very unusual for people to be selling real estate as a way to make money. Zogar Rabbi Asher, if that's true, he says, we have no raya from the Gemara. What would be the halacha if by moving in a school or a moisid or anything like that, what happens if you're decreasing the real estate values? So Rabbi Asher writes, we certainly have a raya from the Gemara that the takana overrode people's problems that there was an invasion of privacy. So there the takana overrode. However, today where we have a new factor, where today where people real estate, they very often will sell their house, they build their equity, they'll retire, at some point they will move out. So in a case where it will cause them a hefsin mamon, there we do not find that for a divar mitzvah we are matter. Goyrim, people have hefsid, and therefore Rabbi Asher says today, in many cases, if by opening the school, people have a hefsid, the takana will not apply, you will have the right to be ma'akiv. Most, I think, contemporary achronim disagreed, they held it was a grama, or your oisib etoich shaloi, various different cheshbainos, but it is a svara, and just something to keep in mind.
What does it do to
He says there was no hefsid there. There was a, they were not.